Today is what is called Palm / Passion Sunday. I think if we're honest, the passion part of that is because people don't do the other days of Holy Week. We don't do Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Saturday Vigil. Even here at Highland Park, we have a Good Friday service, but that's the only other Holy Week service we have. So the Passion is added to this Sunday so that when everyone arrives next Sunday for Easter, they're ready for it. They've seen Jesus to the cross. A lot of churches just read those two scriptures on this morning, the Palm story and the Passion story, which is very lengthy, believing that the story speaks for itself, that the palm story told in all four of the Gospels is easily understood and there's no need for discussion or understanding. And of course, the Passion, well, we all know that very well. But I avoid the Passion this week because I feel like the palm story is what we need to focus on. If you don't come to Good Friday, then you're on your own. You have to take Jesus to the cross on your own. But I've thought a lot about this parade of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, because there are so many things going on these days that make me think about large gatherings of people wanting change. Just yesterday, so many people gathered all over this country in the March for Our Lives, a march begun by small children, not small children, but children who high school had been entered by gunmen, and many were killed. I'm not going to speak on that issue, so you can relax about that. But I am going to speak about the gathering of voices for their beliefs and how that phenomenon moves us. That's what's happening this day in Jerusalem. The people are welcoming what they believe was their Messiah, the person who would ride into town and save them from the Romans. The problem wasn't that day. That day was probably pretty amazing. Seeing all the people gathered there on the wrong side of the city. They weren't on the side of the city where the Roman leadership was processing in, but they were on this side of the city where Jesus was riding on a donkey. The day was wonderful. There was nothing wrong with that day. On this day, there are hosannas ringing loud and clear, and the palms are waving just like we just did. And the people are walking, and the voices are loud, and the voices are clear, and people are throwing their coats down, and everyone knew what they wanted. The problem was not that day. The problem was the following day. After the big walk is over, and the people are now saying, "What now?" I heard those exact words this morning on the news. After all that gathered yesterday, what now? What now? Do you find yourself ever getting caught up in the crowd, excited about the ideas of what's going on and about the change that might come about? Wanting for there to be a difference in the world. But when the crowd breaks up and everyone goes their own direction, then what? Everyone gathering that day around Jesus wanted someone. They wanted a Messiah to come in and overthrow the Roman government and make their life better. Someone to come in and change everything that was going on, to make life better, to make life easier, to make people happier. When they saw that Jesus wasn't going to be the kind of Messiah that they had in their mind, they changed their tune. Words of Hosanna, glory to God, changed to crucify him. Those who shouted Hosanna today didn't want to have to go through what it would take to follow a Messiah like Jesus. It wasn't what they had planned. It wasn't what they wanted. It wasn't why they gathered there that day. I thought about that a lot yesterday as I heard about those gathering in cities all across this country. Are those walking today going to be there tomorrow? Are they going to continue the message after the crowds have dispersed and gone home? How easy is it to keep the hosannas going? Would it have been different if Jesus had ridden in on a huge horse with an entourage and they went directly into battle and took over the Romans? I ask myself, how important was it for Jesus to ride in that day to hosannas on a small donkey that had never been ridden before? Have you ever seen anyone ride on a donkey? It's not grand. It's not exciting. Jesus rode into hosannas only to be turned upon the next few days because he wasn't what everyone was looking for. I think I'm pretty secure in saying that not every person that gathered yesterday were gathered wanting the same thing. Not everyone agreed on what needed to be done about gun violence in our world. I'm guessing that there are some that feel like guns need to be regulated more, that there were some that felt like certain guns need to be banned, that there were those who felt like teachers needed to be equipped with guns, there were those who felt like teachers didn't need to be equipped with guns. Some were gathered to say we need more guns. Sort of, if tomorrow someone brought up a plan and presented it, not all who walked yesterday will be in favor of that plan. There would be opposition. It's just the nature of people. When we get excited and band together over change, but when it comes time to implement change, we tend to change our minds. We want people to agree with our way, don't we? My way. As I think about this day every year, I ask so many questions of myself. Did Jesus know as he rode into town how the tides would turn in such a short time? Could he see it in the faces of those he passed on the streets? Their excitement and their disappointment. Certainly he knew what was to come. Did it make that day painful or did it make that day glorious? Did the people have to change their cries from Hosanna to crucify him? Did that have to happen? I think about those standing there watching Jesus. Surely what those people wanted more than anything was salvation. Maybe not the kind of salvation we think of today, but they wanted salvation. Salvation from the life that they'd been forced to lead. Days later, the cries for crucifying Jesus were again cries for salvation. They needed things to be different, and this guy wasn't what they wanted. And so they cried, "Get rid of him and let's find another Messiah." Those cries of "crucify him" were just as much cries for salvation as the cries of "Hosanna." The beauty of this whole story is that "Hosanna" and "crucify him" screamed from the visceral core of their beings and screamed with absolutely no real understanding of what they were asking for, becomes the miraculous vocabulary with which God teaches us the meaning of unconditional love and mercy and salvation. We look back and we understand the necessity of this event that took place. We see the beauty in how God worked through Jesus' life and journey to the cross. And yes, we even see how the cries of "Hosanna," turning to "crucify him," were important for us today. We see how those moments when we, in fits of desperation, change our cries of "Hosanna" to "crucify him," we see how Christ, through his sacrifices, understands and loves us despite ourselves. We see his love through his pain. What is important to see here, to really look at in ourselves, is our own hosannas, our own daily cry to Christ. Do we find ourselves during difficult times going with the crowd and seeking answers that fit our desires rather than staying with what we know is the correct path to the cross? Do our hosannas change to "crucify him" when things aren't going our own way? How do we seek ways to find "Hosanna" within ourselves and remain faithful to our Creator every day? I laughed this morning as our children sat on the stairs, and they're so excited and they're full of energy and they can't wait for the picnic and the Easter egg hunt. But this afternoon, those moments of excitement and that fun of searching for candy is going to turn to need to rest and to cries of uncomfort, cries of need. If we look at the disciples, yes, at times they acted out of fear, and at times they denied Christ, and at times they questioned his actions. Even one of them betrayed him on this very journey and turned him over to the authorities. But on the way to the cross, they stood by him. They loved him. They grieved him. They took care of his mother, and their hosannas remained "Hosanna." As we walk through this darkest of weeks ahead, as we imagine Christ through the pain of hearing those voices change, as we think about Christ gathering for his last meal with his disciples, as we think about Jesus taken into custody, Jesus' trial, his persecution, his crucifixion, as we imagine Christ hearing those voices change May we listen ever so closely to our own voice. Do we in our lives daily shout, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest? Or do we allow our voices to change, to crucify Him? Crucify Him. Crucify Him. May your voice be today, Hosanna. And may tomorrow your voice be Hosanna. Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. Amen and amen.